News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. You just tuned in to Give It Some Thought. Dr. Harold V. Bennett with you on this great, great day. Listen, you know what we do, and it's your turn to get somebody involved in this wonderful, wonderful conversation and be a part of this great audience. So call somebody, text somebody, email somebody, whatever it is and works best for you. Listen, let them know that Give It Some Thought is on the air. So I'd like for you to just sit down and get comfortable and do what it is you do. You get your little drink, your little water, your latte, your coffee, your energy drink, whatever it is, just get yourself something and make yourself comfortable and get ready for a wonderful conversation that only you and I and our Give It Some Thought community can have. Listen, I also want you to remember to like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Like us on Facebook. Take a few minutes and just a couple seconds. Won't take long. 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Like us there. And also what I'd like for you to do is also like the Give It Some Thought Facebook page with Dr. Bennett. Give It Some Thought, or even the gist of the matter with Dr. Bennett. Need you to do that. And so you and I can stay in conversation with one another. We can be interactive. When I say interactive, you can post stuff. We can get your questions addressed. We can get your concerns responded to. Well, you know, we can just have a great, 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 old, fun, warm and fuzzy kind of time. So that's what I need for you to do. All right. Like us on Facebook, WAOK 1380 AM, the voice of the community, and also Give It Some Thought with Dr. Bennett. That's what I'd like for you to do today. Got a few minutes. Go right on. Got a couple seconds. I want you to make that happen. All right. Listen, great day. Great deal. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day. And, you know, I tell you what's happening since Memorial Day. Guess what, y'all? Summer. I guess it's the official kickoff of summer. You know, so you know what? You can wear white now. You can wear your little white suits and your little white. Well, I ain't gonna say white shoes. I don't know if I ever wear any white shoes. But you can wear white now and whatnot. And I think you ought to be all right. Maybe up to perhaps Labor Day. But you know, summer is officially starting, and this is the time to have a lot of fun and to talk about enjoying our families and taking it down to the beach and some other kinds of things. So hey, summer is here. And we're going to have a wonderful time this summer. I'm going to have a great time. Hopefully, you will. You will, too. All right? Great, great. Oh, you know what I thought about? Let me tell you what I thought about. That basketball game. And when I say that basketball game, you know what I'm talking about. And what is it? Hey, I'm talking about that situation with Golden State and Houston. That situation with Golden State and Houston. Now, what y'all, how you think that's going to go? You know, it's already tied up. I think the series is tied 3-3, and the situation is about to jump off. We got one more game to play, and you know what? Houston got a little something on their hands, and you know, just like a lot, the world is wondering whether Chris Paul is going to play, and we'll just have to see how it goes. Because I tell you, I got to admit, you know, I'm not a real big basketball fan, but the little times that I am watching and the little bit that I know about basketball, I really did not think Houston would extend it this far. I just thought Golden State was going to go ahead and knock them out early in the series. But, you know, Bennett was absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. You know, so, hey, we got series tied 3-3, and I think the final game, game 7, is in Houston. So that ought to be a great, great kind of thing to watch. Personally, I love myself some NFL. And that's probably the wrong thing for me to say, you know, given all the mess that's going on. But, you know, football season is starting up and the OTAs are going on. And, you know, hey, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But I got to tell y'all, I love football and I love those Atlanta Falcons. I love those Falcons. And we'll just see how they're going to do this year. All right, Memorial Day, the beginning of summer. It's okay for you to wear white.
Listen, the NBA, you know, we got this wonderful series tied at 3-3. The Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets, they locked in this kind of this little match. And we're gonna see who's gonna win it. All right. Listen, got one other thing I want to tell you. And you might want to tune into this because this is going to kind of shape what I'm going to talk about tonight, what I want to talk about this afternoon. I read an article, and I'm just kind of setting it up for you right now. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Listen, I read an article by Monique Judge. She writes for TheRoot.com. She writes for The Root. And she writes this piece about non-monogamy. Let me give you another word for it. Open relationships. Ooh. All right. And she writes this article about it, and she talks about it. And she's getting into some of what she wants to say or some of the misconceptions about it. She's trying to clear them up. And she puts some very interesting issues in play. And what's interesting is Monique's article kind of talks more so, I think, about some of the misconceptions men might have about it. But she is a little open or sensitive to raising questions that women might have or that might be pertinent for women. Matter of fact, I think they are, really. But I want to get at that. I want to talk about an issue that article brings into play. And what is that article? What's that issue? It has a lot to do with single relationships and monogamy. And I want to talk about that on the other side of this break, about single relationships, monogamous relationships, whether or not they work. And we're going to get into that on the other side. So I wanted to tell you about that because I want you to call somebody. I want you to text somebody. I want you to email somebody. Hey, whatever it is, however you communicate, let them know. Give it some thought. It's on the air. And we about to get into this thing about non-monogamy, open relationships. And we're going to raise this question, going to put this issue in play, whether or not single relationships, monogamous relationships, whether they work. Whether they're good for the black community. Hey, we're going to talk about it. We're going to think about it. Don't you go anywhere. All right. News and talk radio. 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Monique Judge, she's a writer for The Root, TheRoot.com. And you all might want to, it's a wonderful news magazine, or shall I say online journal, that talks about issues in the African-American community. She has this article. I read it. I think it came out last week, and it talks about non-monogamous relationships. It caught my attention because I had not ever seen it talked about, that word used that way. So I read and I said, oh, OK, she's talking about relationships that are people are engaged in relationships with more than one person at the same time. Open relationships. That's the other way I think that she would talk about it. And as I read Monique's article, Monique was raising this question, or at least Monique was saying that this whole idea of open relationships is kind of becoming commonplace and widespread in the mainstream communities. And I guess mainstream might mean white. You know, usually when I'm reading something and I see mainstream, I'm usually thinking that means white. But when I read that, it made me want to push the issue and think about whether or not these types of relationships are even in our community. Have they made their way becoming a little more acceptable? And when I say let me kind of pause the DVD player right there when I said becoming a little more acceptable. So often, I mean, y'all think about this, colleagues. When you start talking about relationships, especially in the African American community, so often it's shaped by I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. It's often shaped by what we see about the Bible. The Bible and sometimes Christian ethics has a lot to do with how we understand relationships, whether or not premarital sex is acceptable, whether or not persons in relationships ought to be in a relationship with more than one person at the same time. Those kinds of ideas that we have about them are shaped often by Christian ethics and I would say even beliefs about the Bible. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you something right now. I hope you're sitting down. I hope you're sitting down because this is probably going to scare some of us halfway to death. And what is it? What's going to scare us halfway to death, Bennett? This is what's going to scare us halfway to death. When you're looking at the Bible, keep in mind there isn't one unified picture there about male-female relationships. Do you hear what I'm saying? There isn't one solid kind of picture there about male and female relationships. I mean, you know, you think about it. You know, you while you might have a relationship with one man, between one man and one woman, clearly you have relationships there with a man, a wife, and multiple concubines at the same time. Oh, you know what I'm saying, right? At the same time, you have, I mean, you know, if you pull from that Judeo-Christian tradition, you'll have people, you'll have Abraham, you'll have Yaakov, or you'll have Jacob, you'll have Solomon, you'll have David. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, where you have this very interesting kind of relationship in place where you have a man, but he has concubines and wives, and it's all going on at the same time. Well, I wanted to say that because, again, I want us to think about, on the one hand, what shapes our thinking about what acceptable relationships between men and women are to look like. You have that portrait in the Bible, and you also have the one where you just have the exclusive kind of peace, or the exclusive kind of relationship between one man and one woman. And that kind of relationship gets talked about, I guess, in the opening chapters when you have the Adam and Eve stories, you know, that kind of thing there. But just know you do not have a single portrait of male-female relationships in that Bible. That's very, very important. And we can have that conversation another day about what that might mean in detail. But I wanted to put that out there because I do think that so often when we want to start talking about male and female relationships, sometimes and often it draws from perhaps what we believe the Bible says about some of these relationships. Now, it just creates a whole lot of questions for me, and we can issues, and we can talk about those too if you like. Oh, let me give you the number. The number is 448-922-7703. 448-922-7703. I want you to put that, write it down, because when we open the lines and start talking about monogamous relationships and whether they work, I want you to be a part of this conversation. So why did I say all of that? I said all of that because, one, I think that thinking about the Bible or ideas about good Christian, you know, values often shape our thinking, or at least thoughts in the West, about relationships and whatnot, whether it should be one man with one woman. And then, like I said, look at the Bible now, especially when these heterosexual relationships. Hey, you got a man, you got wives, and you got concubines. Concubines. Ooh. Yeah. I wonder how many of us would go for that right now. But here's what's interesting. Monique Judge says something that's quite interesting. She actually talks about this whole idea of even what's happening in culture, and I would say popular culture, where there is this move towards having relationships that are not exclusively one male and one female in a relationship with one another. And she talks about it under this large heading of non-monogamy. And she talks about how this thing is moving, you know, and becoming somewhat more acceptable. And then she lays out some understandings, or shall I say, the ground rules, maybe some of the ground rules for this type of relationship. And, you know, she's talking about sex, and she's talking about emotional bondings and these kinds of things. And she's talking about how there has to be communication and rules need to be established, and both persons, all parties in the relationship, should understand what the rules are. And Monique Judge even goes as far as to say that perhaps the group that might have the biggest problem with non-monogamy would be men, in the sense that men don't want to be in a relationship with, that men want to be in a non-monogamous relationship, But they're expecting some monogamy from the woman that they're in which they're in a relationship. So she kind of alludes to that kind of thing. But she's saying that in these relationships, these open relationships, you know, that there has to be communication, that there has to be some kind of way to manage the whole issue of jealousy and a whole host of other kinds of things. And it's interesting because she often she refers to a book that's there, and I think the book is the Hardy book, Hardy. Hardy wrote a book, and Easton wrote a book. It's an interesting book. The book, and I'm gonna tell you what the book is called. Hopefully I can say this word. It's called the ethical slut. Can I say that word? That's the title. That's the title of the book. That's the title of the book. All right. It's the that's the title of the book. Hopefully I'm not getting myself in trouble by saying that word. But that's the title of the book. All right, by Janet Hardy and Darcy Easton. I want you to look at that, and that's what she connects with. All right. Gotta take a break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna talk about non-monogamy. We're gonna talk about open relationships. We're going to talk about whether or not monogamy really works. I want to hear what you think about it. 404-892-2703 is the number. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Listen, need you to do me a favor. Want to stay in touch with you. Would you please like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK. The voice of the community. I want you to go there, and I want you to like us, and that way you can stay in touch with WAOK and what it is we are talking about, what's happening, you know, in terms of what's happening in our community. Because let me tell you something, WAOK is real good with getting stuff out and coming to where you are and paying attention to all kinds of issues that are just jumping off in the African, I love to say this, the African-American community, all right? And I'd like for you to go right on and like us, you know, on Facebook so you can actually be a part of those conversations. You know, you can actually, from time to time, you can actually go right on and send us some information about perhaps, you know, what's happening in, as they say, in your neck of the woods and let us know what, in fact, is going on, all right? All right, won't you do that? All right, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community, and I want you to be a part of what it is we're doing here. Listen, I got some information for you, and I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this. The Atlanta Alumni Chapter of North Carolina A&T State University is offering some scholarship opportunities for high school seniors and undergraduates attending North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. We actually put this information out a while back and wanted you to know then when we started making this announcements a couple weeks ago. I wanted everybody to know about it. The deadline for receiving these funds would be June 1, or the deadline for submitting the application is June 1, 2018, by 5 o'clock. So you need to go to the website atlanta.ncatsualumni.org. That's atlanta.northcarolinaantstateuniversityalumni.org. Download the application and go on and get it turned in. We have some people here who want to ensure that we are getting money available, that we're putting funds out there for persons who, in fact, would like to be a part of that wonderful university up there in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we want to help you to, if you're in school there, we want to help you stay there. And if, in fact, you are thinking about attending A&T here in Atlanta, there's a group here in Atlanta that wants to encourage your heart and want to do what we can to ensure that you can, if you're accepted, that there are some, that you have some finances to help you navigate through that. Because I will tell you this, and I want to, you know, get back to what I'm saying. You know, one of the biggest thing I would say, or one of the most important things that people should have to deal with when they go to college, is primarily the intellectual kinds of things that they need to deal with. Your schoolwork. you really don't need to be at school having to worry about money and how you're going to stay there and where you're going to get your books and whatnot. Those aren't good for you. Your biggest challenge, I would say, ought to be more so, you know, just those kinds of things, working, dealing with the classwork and, you know, the labs and learning the material and whatnot. And so A&T Alumni Association is doing what it can to ensure that your finances are one of your smaller kinds of concerns. All right. So go on and take advantage of that opportunity. If you're there at A&T and if you're thinking about going, take advantage of that. All right. 404-892-2703 is the number. And we're talking about Monique Judge's article, and she's talking about non-monogamy. And, you know, I will tell you this, you know, I am, and I guess I'm somewhat, I don't know, y'all might say Bennett somewhat naive. That's what y'all might say. You might say, you know, this has been going on quite a while, you know, people, what they call that, creeping or something? I don't know. I guess it's creeping, but I guess when they're creeping, it's not really an open relationship because I guess one don't know about the other one. And I guess that's how the creeping thing kind of goes. But I think this open relationship kind of thing is this kind of where persons are involved with more than one person at the same time. And I guess it's kind of like accepted, or it's kind of like, you know, agreed upon that we're going to have this kind of relationship. And you know, that's a little different for Bennett. That's a little different from Bennett. Where I come from, that's just that. Let me use the kind of language they use where I was growing up. That dog ain't going to hunt. I guess I could say that dog ain't going to hunt. That's bad English, but that dog ain't going to hunt. That's just the way it was when I was growing up. I mean, that's just that kind of thing just did not work. But, you know, as Monique Judge says, she said this is a new day, or at least she opens the door for us to think about this being a new kind of thing. I wonder what you think about this. I'd like to know where you are on this issue. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3. First of all, is this thing commonly accepted? Is it a commonplace, you know, especially in the African American community? Is it something that we do on a regular basis where we have this relationship kind of freedom where people can be, you know, can be involved with multiple people at the same time, and it's kind of a cool kind of thing that no one seems to, people aren't objecting to that kind of thing. I'd like to know if from your vantage point, that's a good way for me to put it, your vantage point from your experience, is that in fact the case? I'd like to know what you think. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3 is the number, and I got a couple of lines open, and I'm gonna go right to you when I see that you call it. I tell you, but Monique Judge gets us to thinking about something, because I'm scratching my head. I'm scratching my head, and I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to Charlie on line 4. Charlie.
Yes, I am here with you, sir. How are you today?
Hey, doctor? Man, I'm good, man. I was talking, I didn't hear you, and I got scared. I said, oh, my God, I done pushed the wrong button.
No,
you know me.
Yeah, that can be a scary situation, then,
oh,
sir.
Oh, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, sir. Well, like I told your screener there, I called to feel that I have something to chime in from an erudite perspective in reference to your conversation that you have, the dialogue that you're imposing on us this day.
All right, let's hear it, man. Let's hear it. Let's hear your thoughts.
Well, what I think in reference to the open relationship situation, especially from a geo relationship perspective, let's say, I think it's the nuts and bolts of it to me are in reference to, especially with women coming out with wanting to engage in this activity more. I think it's purely more, it's all about the money.
So why you say that? What you mean is all about the money? What do you mean?
It's about the money. Well, the finances are what's allowing. See, as you can attest to, back in the day, even my father is a part of this ilk. Mm-hmm. When my parents got divorced, mm-hmm. when I was a lad, yet a lad, I witnessed my dad primarily. My mom had boyfriends as well, but uh-huh. the difference between my mom and dad, like I was telling somebody the other day, my dad had lady friends that they all knew each other. My dad had about five or six girlfriends, and they all knew each other to a degree. Yeah, they all knew each other, mm-hmm. I watched situations where every so often one would call while he was entertaining the other, and of course that's when the jealousy and stuff began to manifest itself.
I mean, this is amazing to me. They all knew each other, and everybody was cool with it.
Well, not necessarily so, but they were cool enough with it that they did not let him go.
Uh-huh.
You know, exactly. They did. You know, all the ones that I can think of that he had at the time, mm-hmm. They all. They all knew each other. It was about at least five of them, and they all knew because. And the reason I know that they knew each other because they would reference each other.
Do me a favor, Charlie.
Conversation.
Do me a favor. Yeah. Hold on. Just hold on. I sure. go to a hard break. Don't go anywhere.
Sure.
I'm gonna come back
sure.
to you, Natara. I'm gonna come to you after I finish talking to Charlie and my other guests. All right, hold on. All right, y'all. Oh boy, it looks like it's about to get hot. In Hotlanta, news and talk radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Listen, we talking about monogamous relationships and whether or not they work, open relationships, whether or not they're good or bad. Guess what? That was Pieces of a Dream playing right behind me or, you know, bringing us in. I love Pieces of a Dream. In fact, I love jazz. I love jazz. Maybe this is a good, Sean, maybe this is a good song for what we're talking about now. Pieces of a Dream call this song Turning It Up. Just turning it straight up. But it's Pieces of a Dream. What a great, great jazz group. I just love them. I just love them. Oh, I just start swaying when they start. But listen to that. Don't that sound good, y'all? Oh, look at that. That's smooth, Sean. All right, 404-892-2703. I'm going back to Charlie. Hello, Charlie. Go ahead, man.
Yes, I am. I'm definitely with you on that jazz. I'm a jazz pianist and guitarist.
So, man, that's great. That's great. There's nothing like jazz, boy. I love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tell you, the skill set is beyond it's beyond supernatural to be able to play it effectively.
Listen, bro.
Sure.
Let me tell you. We're gonna get back to this monogamous thing. I'm gonna
absolutely.
Tell what I love about jazz. I love the aesthetic. That's involved with jazz. I love the creativity. I love the way when you're playing jazz, you got the flow. You got to respond.
Not just the creativity, the communication.
That's what I'm saying,
the
man.
Communication.
That's what I'm saying.
And see, in jazz, a lot of people don't understand, you have, it's just like if you want to learn a different language, you have to know the language before you can be able to communicate, and that's what jazz is about.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the language down, you can't communicate effectively in jazz.
All right.
And you just like we're having a conversation now about this monogamy, you know, we are communicating effectively, you know.
Yeah.
And so digressing back to what I was telling you about my dad, you know, being that he and about the money aspect of it. See, my dad made pretty good, made real good money. It was mm-hmm. good year. He was a upper middle level management, you know, chief of the fire department, you know what I'm saying? Making good money.
Mm-hmm.
So the women were. That's one of the reasons why they were able to hang. They were hanging and get a piece of the action. And you know, back in the day, you know, a lot of the men, you know, men were, you know, they were the providers of the household. So a lot of wives, even, you know, they didn't necessarily want to share their man, but they acquiesced to that because. You know, if the house was in order and the money was right, you know, a lot of them stayed. But see, what has happened now is a lot of the sisters are, you know, going to school and they're mm-hmm. they're getting their education, they're getting, you know, and so they're making the money and they're able. What's blowing this thing out of proportion is that they're you know, just like Monique, you know, she makes good money. So a lot of the sisters are making, you know, making good money, and they're wanting to call some shots and have a few brothers line up for them, you know, because, you know, they're making the money. You got some brothers that are willing to, be taken care of as well. You know what I mean?
So it's kind of
like a swap meet going on with this, this open relationship kind of thing going now. You know, it's about the money and the money says a whole lot, you know.
Say the money has a lot to do with them staying. All right, thank you, my friend. I appreciate your call.
Listen,
like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3. I'm going to go to Natara. Natara, you're on. Hello, Natara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm 250%. How are you?
I'm good.
Tell me about this monogamy. Tell me about these open relationships and everybody being on board with it. I mean, do you think this is something that's just common in our community? And, you know, you sound very, very alert. Tell me what you think about this non-monogamy kind of thing.
I don't believe in the non-monogamy. I do believe in one woman, one man, mm-hmm. take care of each other, build and grow together. I feel when you add other people, it's uh-huh. other problems. It's like your other caller said, it's more money involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel you can invest that into your home. Yes.
Well, I tell you what, Natara, that's good. But is it common? I mean, do you think it's a commonplace in the Black community that men and women in relationships where both of them are okay with the other partner having, you know, multiple partners? I mean, that they're okay with this. Is this something that's widely practiced? I mean, you know, I might be a little naive, but I'm just wondering, is it widely practiced?
I think I am naive too, but it is something that's becoming common. Mm. It really is. But I just, you know, hey, how I was raised and yeah. our strong backbones and, you know, I just don't believe in it, bringing other people into your home.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Natara. Great call. Listen, like us on Facebook, 1380, WLK, the voice of the community. And you like Dr. Bennett on Facebook. Also, Natara, are you a first-time caller? You're a first-time caller, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir,
All right, don't go anywhere. We got it. We got a little something for you since you are a first-time caller. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Since, in fact, you are a first-time caller, guess what we got for you? There you go. We're going to show you some love. We're going to show you some love. We got to do that. I mean, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to call us. And, hey, I want you to keep on listening, all right? Tell your friends about us, all right?
I sure will.
All right.
I sure will.
Thank you. Well, I tell you, 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3 is the number. And, boy, I tell you, Natara said, nah, she ain't having it. You know, she says she ain't having it. Charlie had a little different thing to say about it. Let me see. I'm going to go to Will. I'm going to see if I can get Will in. Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, Dr. Bennett, I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, man, I wouldn't have it any other way. What you got to say about non-monogamous relationships?
Well, it's just whoredom. I mean, you're just bringing a curse on your children. A holy matrimony is where one man and one woman have a relationship with God. And this is since Noah. And that's what separates Satan people from God's people, like having this a homosexual and tranny in the White House, so Obama's that I voted for twice. It's a satanic deception. And this Monique Church is obviously a satanic lesbian that's wanted to tell us what our morals should be, when in fact America's
okay.
got...
Okay, wait a minute. I think you're on to something, but you're kind of going a little overboard now. I mean, why you want to call her satanic, and why you want to call a woman a lesbian and all? You don't know that.
I'm looking at her blog. I mean, anybody can read it themselves. It's,
I read it too, but you can't say that. Now, that's a bit.
I'll give you a quote. I am not a religious person, so I don't believe in heaven and hell. And she goes on. You can see.
Okay. Well, then let's you and I talk about this. Let's talk about this. So you're saying a person is satanic if they don't believe in heaven or hell?
I'm saying, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. Would you call Abraham satanic?
I believe the Bible.
Would you call Abraham satanic?
No.
Well, Abraham had no concept of heaven and hell. no concept whatsoever. Neither did David, neither did Solomon, neither did Noah, any of them. Let's think about this now. If your conditions for talking about who was satanic or not is whether or not they believed in heaven and hell, whose leadership you follow in the Bible, be satanic.
I don't. I'm American. I follow God alone.
Okay.
Why do you think Jerusalem was destroyed?
All right. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to invite you to do a little more thinking. All right. I want you to do a little more thinking, because it seems to me that you're playing games and you're not. I want you to put your thinking hat on now. All right. Listen. Love you, brother. I got to go to a break, and I want you to keep on listening. You and I shall make wonderful conversation partners. All right, y'all. Listen. Got a break. Boy, my boxers get all in the wad when we start talking about the Bible and start calling people names and decide that we're gonna read the Bible like those people in the Bible are Christians. We need to stop that. We really need to stop that foolishness. I'm going to say something to y'all right now before I go to a break so I can get some of y'all just all riled up. Guess what? God's not a Christian. God's not a Muslim. God ain't even Jewish. Now you think about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. We're talking about, you know, to use Monique Judge's term, non-monogamous relationships. And, you know, she's gotten me thinking about this whole issue about whether or not monogamous relationships work, whether or not single relationships work. I'm going to go to the lines. 448-922703 is a number. I'm going to go to Sean. Sean, you're on. Go ahead, Sean.
Hello. How you doing this evening?
Man, if I was doing any better, I'd be jealous of me.
Yeah. I tell you, your question, does single relationship or monogamous relationship work? They can work. Uh-huh. And some do work, mm-hmm. but what I feel about monogamy, I don't believe it's natural. It's somewhat innate. It's something, but I believe that it's a commitment that one makes to be with someone else alone.
Hold up. Now, you know, you just set off a grenade. You can't throw a grenade in the room and run. Now, you say you do not believe that monogamy is natural. You think that it's forced. It's a learned behavior.
It's a learned behavior, I believe, considering history, you know, some of the things in history and throughout history, even biblical history, some men had more than one wife.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and I had multiple women at a time. And
that's right.
And there are some cultures where women have more than one husband.
That's right.
I don't believe that it's anything that is natural. I don't believe that God has a problem if we're not monogamous. I believe that society has dictated what should be as we begin to Christianize. I didn't say make disciples of Christ, but Christianize America the more.
Uh-huh.
In a country where people should have the right to believe whatever they believe, whether it's Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, the Jewish God, or any other deity,
mm-hmm.
they have a right. And I believe that this quote-unquote America geared towards Christianity, we have forced people into monogamy.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was a time when, before the 1950s, we're in the South, and particularly during World War II, where swinging became an acceptable practice, you know, and people were swapping spouses. But now we demonize people who will be with more than one person. We call, like, if a woman decides to be more than one man, a slut, a hoe. If a guy decides to be with more than one woman, he's a doll. You know, he's a gigolo, you know, trying to be a player. We use words to try to demonize
mm-hmm.
people for not necessarily wanting to be monogamous. It's just not, if it was so natural or innate to humanity, people wouldn't be unfaithful to their spouses. I mean, married people or people who said they quote unquote were in a committed relationship, whether it's legally married or common law marriage, you know? So if it was something that we were naturally geared towards, I believe that one person would be able to satisfy, but I really don't.
Okay.
We make the decision to be in a relationship one alone and we settle more than we are satisfied.
Okay, okay. So let me ask you this then. Do you think open relationships are good for the black community? Do you think they're good for us?
I think it is. considering that not everyone in the black community, because we need to definitely build our village. Mm-hmm. We need to reproduce and, you know, and stop aborting our babies. And mm-hmm. I'm not talking about because of law or religion, but to build our village.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm going to get to some of these other calls. I'm going to go another call out there. I want to ask you something, Sean. Well, what if it's good for our community, you said it helped build the village. I mean, really, do you think it really helps solidify relationships by having multiple partners at the same time? Do you think that's good?
I think it is good. I personally think it is great.
Okay. All right.
You know.
Well, Sean, hey, it's your opinion, man, and I just wanted to hear it. Listen. Our like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. And I want you to like, give it some thought with Dr. Bennett. Listen, thank you for your call, brother. Wonderful call. 448-922703. I am going to go to Dion. Dion, you're on.
Good evening, Dr. Bennett. How are you, sir?
I'm 250%. How are you?
I'm about the same as you. Now, you know, I've listened to your callers and, you know, we all have our, you know, our opinions and our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole thing about non-monogamy, do I believe it's a learned thing? I do. I think it's a cultural thing. And then to bring non-monogamy into the black community, wow, I'm not sure that I'm with that.
Okay. Tell me why you're not with it. Why are you not with it?
Campbell, why you say you're not with it?
Oh, it's you got somebody else.
Don't know that.
you got to have some reasons for it. Why do you think that monogamy works, or that monogamy is the best kind of arrangement in terms of a relationship for a man and a woman? Why do you think that's the mm-hmm. best?
Well, you know what? Personally, I'm not going to make any judgments on anyone else. That's mm-hmm. the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not one that, you know, this whole new push trying to make it me stomach it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't appreciate that with the, you know, I think it's TLC that has the sister wives and all that. And there was actually a couple from Atlanta on mm-hmm. there looking for, you know, the couple looking for another sister wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not for me.
Okay. Okay. Well, I tell you what.
It's not for me.
And that's fine. That's fine. I was just wondering what was informing your thinking. I mean, I got my own ideas about it, and we'll talk about that at some other point. But listen, Dion, I appreciate your call. Listen, you got to do something. What's the something? Like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community, and also like, give it some thought with Dr. Bennett, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much
for calling. All right, listen, 448-922703. Let me go to Todd. Todd, you there?
Harold Bennett.
You got him live and in living color.
You ask troublemaker questions. You know
oh,
that, right?
Man, bro, let me tell you something. This is a good question. Monique Judge dropped this piece. I think it's a great article. You know, she raised a lot of questions, you know, about non-monogamy. And as I read it, it's like, you know, she was saying that, you know, it's becoming more acceptable in mainstream culture. And I'm like, well, man, is that a statement about then about monogamous relationships that perhaps they're failing? So really, my question comes from Monique's article. I think she has a very interesting article there.
I'm reading the article as soon as I get off the phone with you.
Oh, you should, man. You should now. I'm gonna tell you. I inboxed her, and I'm hopefully she'll respond, because I got a couple questions for her. But what's on your mind, man?
I want to make sure I'm clear on what your question was as it applies to her article. So let me hear the question just one more time.
Okay, here is my question. It's a very very basic question. Do you think monogamous, or do you think monogamous relationships work? Do you think they work? Another way to raise the question is, do you think monogamous relationships actually are falling to the wayside, or that this whole idea of one person being committed to another person exclusively, that thing is becoming, you know, just a relic, an artifact, you know, something that's just a thing of the past. So my question is, do monogamous relationships work? And I say that in light of Monique's article. I think she has a great article.
Monogamous relationships absolutely work. I think you would have served your audience better to avoid any unnecessary confusion to give a strict definition of monogamy.
Oh, well, you tell me, what is it? I mean, other than one person, weren't one person being committed to another person, rather than the open piece? Because clearly, now you might be right about that, Todd. Maybe I should have said what I thought, because I'm assuming.
And you still have time.
Oh, well, let me tell you. All right, no, Todd, don't you go anywhere then. Because, you know what, Todd, doggone it, you raise the questions that, you know, you throw a grenade in the room, but the good thing is you don't run when you throw the grenade in the room. Listen, I'm up against a break. Todd, don't go anywhere.
If I had thrown a real grenade, I'd be gone.
Hey, man, I was in the Marine Corps. I can tell you, yeah, it get ugly when you throw them grenades.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. Don't you go anywhere. I'm up against a break. Don't go anywhere. All right, listen. Todd and I, boy, we're going to talk when we come back. Todd and I are going to talk. Joseph, we're going to talk. Ronald, we're going to talk. My other callers, don't y'all go anywhere. I got you in the queue. You are going to have a conversation with the whole world. All right? News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Misconceptions about non-monogamy. That's kind of where this thing got to going. And, you know, even one of our earlier callers just a few minutes ago actually invited us to think about whether or not monogamy itself is natural. Is it innate or is it a learned behavior? And then several of our callers went back and forth about that. Hey, I mean, it's something to talk about. But my question is, you know, and Monique is asking us, and matter of fact, she said this in an article, that it's becoming a little more acceptable in the mainstream. I got to thinking, mainstream, you mean black community? You mean open relationships, relationships that are non-monogamous, where you just have one partner at a time, and that's the understanding that we've crossed over into this kind of situation where there are multiple partners going on, and each of the partners knows about them, and this is becoming acceptable. Sounds like someone is saying that, you know, monogamous relationships simply don't work, or at least it invites me to think about that. That's what I'm asking you to think about, whether or not monogamous relationships work. 448-922-7003. I'm going back to the line, and I'm going to get my intellectual hand-to-hand combat sparring partner. Todd, you back there?
I am.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Monogamous relationships absolutely work. They're built on agreed arrangements. They're built on predetermined choices of action.
But open relationships can be built upon arrangements.
And non-monogamous relationships work too.
So I'm saying it has to be something a little more. If that's the criteria for making them functional, they're sharing the same criteria, Todd. What say ye?
That's one of the components of it.
Okay.
People keeping their word on predetermined agreements on how they're going to behave when the other one's not around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the components of it. A lot of monogamous relationships work because they're built, as do non-monogamous relationships work, because they're built on friendship, which comes down to camaraderie. They like each other so much that, you know, there's only so much they're going to be willing to do intentionally to compromise the other one's feelings in a negative way. And they both work on, if they're both built on what I consider the correct definition of love as a verb, which is the selfless devotion to the healthy nurturing of someone or something, that thing in this case being the relationship that they share with one another. And I do mean all four of those words in the strict language.
So do you think that more of your needs as a human being are met in a monogamous relationship or in a non-monogamous relationship, Todd?
It depends on where you are as far as what you find appealing and what you find practical and what you need in order to get done if you're planning to raise children. All those three things have to be considered in order for it to be something that's working for you and her or y'all. And that's really the answer to the question. So monogamous relationships work. But then you also ask the question, are non-monogamous relationships becoming the more popular role?
Yeah, I did say that. Yeah, I did raise that question.
The answer to that is there's no definitive study on it. I mean, really, I would say that there's a lot of non-monogamous relationships because there's a lot of deceitful relationships. There's a lot of folks lying and half-truth.
Well, see, Todd, that's the question I wanted to push. I am unsure. Yeah, and there might be some quote unquote hard evidence, you know, to make this more of a more scientific kind of thing. But on the other hand, there's probably something that's just going on that isn't documented where, you know, I mean, you know, TLC talks about creeping and whatnot, but I don't know if creeping counts as a technical.
By the way, chili's still hot, but go ahead, I'm listening.
But anyway, I don't know if that counts as a technically, you know, when you're talking about folk creeping, because I'm thinking the creeping kind of thing is when one person is doing it and the other person knows nothing about it. But I'm thinking this open relationship kind of thing that Monique is talking about is when everybody that's involved is fully aware of the other persons that are involved in the relationship.
Yep, and limited their behavior.
And they choose in some kind of way, you know, do they limit their behavior or do they take the limits off their behavior?
Well, it's more likely that they work when the behavior is limited. I got a good friend that I've known since I was 5, and him and his wife love one another dearly. And he ain't stepped out on her sexually, and she ain't stepped out on him sexually.
Mm-hmm.
But she just does not like to do some things that he likes to do with his friend that we also grew up with. And the fact that she's really hot, you know, would be a strain for some people. And she hasn't allowed that to happen. So him and our one friend, they go on trips to archaeological. They go to archaeological digs together.
Okay.
They're both in the art. His wife isn't much in the art. And if you see them together, with the exception of the fact that you don't ever see them kissing and hugging because they ain't like that, you might really think that they were a couple when they're together. But because this is with when his wife is around and when his wife is not around. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying it depends on how limited the behavior is. So are they monogamous in the sense that they're committed to one another sexually? Yeah. But are they monogamous in the sense that they have the same degree of affection with one another on all things? No. And she gives them that kind of room.
And you know what? That's cool that you said it, because you actually added another layer to the conversation. And the issue is when you say whether or not they are connected emotionally and psychologically, you're right. Perhaps then there is something else that might be brought into play, because you're right. There's a whole lot of ways to talk about monogamy and committed relationships, because a person can actually have emotionally and psychologically decided to abandon their one partner and emotionally, you know, connect themselves to someone else. You know, a lot of people decide to walk out of relationships and enter others, you know, and that does create another kind of way to talk about non-monogamy to a degree. We could finesse that a little bit, but I hear you, Todd.
Well, let me say this in the interest of the other callers that are coming behind me, because you're on time restraint.
I sure am.
I'm not saying detached from emotional, from they have an emotional attachment for one another, as I described those two. What I'm saying is there's a level of attachment in some ways with Keisha, who we grew up with,
mm-hmm.
than there is with his wife, Gina,
mm-hmm.
who he's married to, and he loves both of them, but he has more of a commitment to Gina because that's who he's getting down with. I'm saying the level is a little bit stronger. In the same way I could say he has a much stronger emotional connection to Gina, who he gets down with, than he does Keisha, because he ain't into Keisha like that. And it's a strength, and it just comes down to what degree are you going to commit to the three things that I mentioned in the previous part of the broadcast. And when I tell you Keisha's hot, and a lot of women would not deal with that, Keisha's hot, man.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Todd, thank you so much for calling. And just like you say, I do have a time constraint. I'm about to go to a break. Thank you very much for calling. Listen, Ronald, don't go anywhere. Joseph, don't go anywhere. I'm up against a hard break. I got to take this break. And when I come back, I'm going to go straight to you. Guys, please go no place. Uh-oh, I think he's playing. That TLC song is called Creep. Oh, it's not Creep, it's Creep. I added another syllable to it. Boy, Monique Judge got us up and going, talking about this whole business of non-monogamous relationships. And I just want to know, you know, if that's the case, whether or not monogamous relationships work. Are they still the norm for our community? Because I can think of a lot of reasons we might want to talk about this. I mean, why do people want to have open relationships? Why is that the case? I mean, think about it. I mean, does it enhance the relationships that you have? You know, does it give you more opportunities, and does it make your life more adventurous? You know, I mean, are more of your needs met? I mean, you know, hey, it's a lot to talk about, and we can talk about that on the other side of this break. All right, let me tell you what you've tuned into. You've tuned into News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. 448-922703. We're talking about open relationships, and we're talking about non-monogamy. And the question, though, that's kind of in the background, we're talking about, you know, why open relationships, or whether this means that monogamous relationships are no longer working. And I want to know, what do you think about that? 448-922703. Monique in Sydney, you know, a while back, as a matter of fact, have been very open, I would say, about their open relationship kind of status. And, you know, maybe that's something dumb we could read up on. But it's a lot to talk about, and I want to know what, in fact, you think about it. 448-922703. I'm going to go. Wait a minute. You got the clip for me? You got it ready? Listen. Hey, listen to this clip. Listen to this clip. Then I'm going to go to the line. I'm going to go right to the line. Ronald and Joseph, don't go anywhere. Listen to this clip.
Here's a subject that I thought my fellow preachers would find very interesting. The two of you have a podcast called Monique and Sydney's Open Relationship.
Yes.
Is it true you all actually have an open relationship? And what does that mean? Is it open 24 hours? Is it, you know, what's going on? What does it mean to be in an open relationship? And I know this was your idea, Sydney.
Well, yes, we are in an open relationship 24/8. Okay. Mm. And by that, we mean that we're always open to conversation. We're open to the understandings that man and woman, or as a couple, we should have for one another. Thank you.
But you automatically said, Sydney.
This was his idea.
And I think that's, when we first came out with it, everybody said, oh, my God. How could Monique let that man do that to her?
Whose idea was it?
Well, because she's this big woman, and he's this good-looking man, and because she has this money, she's going to let that man do whatever he want to do just to say she has a fine man.
So y'all talking about, because you talk about emotion and conversation, but that's not what, y'all talking about sex right
well,
now.
Well, here's what makes it beautiful, John. Okay, shake your head one more time. Here.
Whose idea was it? Was it your idea?
It was my idea, because 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I'm an entertainer, and this is my best friend ever. And what I did not want to do was be dishonest with my best friend. There may be times I may want to be with other men. And my best friend said to me, Mama, I've loved you since the 10th grade. Do you think you being with another man is going to have anything to do with me loving you? And then he said, well, you know, if you can be with other men, I can be with other women. I said, well, that's not what I meant now. That's not what I meant. But it was my
okay.
idea.
All right. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. You heard the interview from Monique and Sydney talking about open relationships. And boy, it's just a lot that goes on in that. Wow. Raise the question about whether or not single and monogamous relationships work. Let me go to the line. I am going to go to Ronald. Ronald. Hello, Ronald.
How you doing, Dr. Bennett?
Man, I'm doing good. How you doing this wonderful Memorial Day?
Oh, I'm doing fantastically well. Understanding this question, I think, is very important. You know, I was surprised that we haven't connected monogamy to economics.
Say more about it. I think Todd tried that a little earlier, but go on and say more about it.
Well, I was first in undergraduate. I read Frederick Engels, and he had a very interesting take on monogamy. One, we got to get away from the compulsory nature of relationships. As soon as you try and make someone do something, and I think that's the real issue with monogamy, is that once you tell somebody what not to do, because the marriage vows state that you're making a choice, but yet we don't really have a choice for other forms of relationships. Monogamy is the only politically and morally recognized form of relationships in this society that has widespread approval. In college, we hear about the walk of shame when people have multiple partners. So anytime you're being creative, anytime you step out of a convention, particularly in Western society, you're going to be looked at as a deviant. And I think that binary thinking of always right, wrong, up, down, or order and anarchy, when we just look at things as if there is one option and every other option is wrong or stupid or somehow, you know, unthinking, then we put people in a position in which they can't actually live the creative lives in which we were created to live. So Frederick Inkles talked about male domination over the sexuality of women.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, women know who their children are. They have the children.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't know that. So the only way a man can know who his child is, particularly when he's passing down his private property to his child, is to control the sexuality of his female partner. And you see that monogamy was developed in mainly Western European societies where private property took a stranglehold over the economic development of those societies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for many couples, I know a couple of couples within my own personal circle in which it's a man and a woman living together domestically, but they're not actually involved. It's just economically you need a partner to make it. Wages have remained stagnant for the last 40 years.
Right.
It's so difficult to gain a foothold in a society without substantial forms of support. And so many times we are forced, because when you look at divorce, which is over 50%,
right,
one of the main issues for divorce and the breaking up of couples is money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lack of intimacy. It's not a, or even lack of intimacy or lack of trust many times delineate from the fact that economically we're caught in a catch 22.
Yes.
So when we're forced to be with each other, I don't care what the reason in which you're forcing someone to be with you. It's just not going to work. And in order to have a real choice, that means you can't be punished for whatever selection you do make. So I want a wife. I'm not married. I'm actually in seminary now, Dean Bennett. I mean, you know me. You know, I'm Ron Allen.
Oh, gotcha. So, okay.
Absolutely. I'm trying to make a legitimate choice as to who I want. But I'm not going to make a choice when, if I choose something that is good for me, all of a sudden society, my family, people come at me as if I don't know what it is that I want. So when we take these stigmas off, and also when men understand that women are the same type of human being as we are, because in that clip, Monique said she was the one who invited the open relationship, not the man.
Right.
So when we always want to act as if women are mindless beings who are just looking for husbands to snatch, that puts pressure on men so that men will feel like they're not actually making a choice, they're not actually of value, that they must submit to the will of a woman.
Uh-huh.
And a woman feels pressure that if I don't get a man, then I'm now incomplete. So.
Wow.
When you take those, you know, factors into play in addition to the economic structure that we live in, we see that monogamy becomes way more compulsory than a voluntary admission of how we actually feel and how we want to commit for one another. Because I say this, it was very easier at least, to be monogamous as a teenager when I didn't have economic concerns, when all of my income was disposable, because I could actually spend money and time on my relationship. But now, looking at the concerns of an adult, it is very important for my woman to be able to meet me halfway. And many couples just don't have that flexibility. So as opposed to beating up on each other so much and saying men are unable to be faithful or women just want to control all men, I want us to take a step back and look at the actual structure of our lives and who made these decisions for us, because we'll probably come to the understanding that these are not choices that we actually made for ourselves, but we are reacting to systems that are larger than us, and that massive numbers of people put their understanding and judgment on. And a lot of people are reacting to that and not what they truly want in the first place.
All right. Thank you, Ron. That was absolutely phenomenal call. Listen, Astrid, you stay right there. You're my first time caller. You are next. Joseph, you're right after Astrid. Got to go to a break. Don't y'all go anywhere. We got to hear these two great callers. All right. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Listen, I've got to go to the lines. I think I have a first-time caller. Astrid. Hello, Astrid.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, hold on, hold on. I want to show you a little first-time caller love. Boy, I tell you, I am so glad to hear your voice. What do you think about this thing about first time? I mean, about non-monogamy or this whole idea of open relationships versus monogamous committed relationships? Do monogamous relationships work anymore?
Okay, first I want to say this is that we can use the Bible to argue either way.
And you're right.
In this day and age, there's a lot of things that are happening, a lot of different kinds of choices that people are making for their lives. And so I respect that. But as for me and my house, we choose monogamy. It works for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have no room for anyone else in our family.
Mm-hmm.
We have children, and we can't wait until they grow up so we can we can get back to that those moments that brought us together in the first place. I feel that it is work,
mm-hmm.
and I think sometimes it's easier to do something different than to stick in it and work.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the experiences that I've seen with people that I know, and so then the thing is, you know what? I want more. This is not working. We've got to make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's do this. Let's bring other people in. If I'm in that point of my life, then there's something within me that I need to work on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to be any good to anyone else in my life, any open relationship, if I'm not where I need to be in my own life and with the relationship, the number one or main relationship that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in a relationship to get my feelings to feel good all the time, because life, God never promised us that everything would be feely things, that we would be satisfied at all times, that we would never suffer, that we would fully understand relationships from the beginning to the end. That was never promised to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live our lives, and we have to live it with the choices that we make. And I feel that I don't need to have anyone else in my life but the man that I had a part in choosing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one where, oh, I see woman, let me drag her by the hair, this is my woman now. That's not it. I was older when I got married, much mm-hmm. older. So and when I was younger, I was out there. I dated. You know, I was in relationships. Some of them were monogamous. Others weren't. And it was, when I look back and think about it, that was time that I should have been working on me
mm-hmm.
and doing the things that God had called me to do
mm-hmm.
that was outside of getting into a relationship in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm growing older, and I like and I love being with one person
mm-hmm.
because this person knows me in and out. This person stands by me no matter what. This person supports me. I support him. We have like minds, and that's very important.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about any dis-ease from going outside of the both of us. We don't have to worry about, you know, having attention drawn away by someone else, because the bottom line is we're human beings and we have emotions
mm-hmm.
and we can intend to, you know, only have this kind of relationship with a person. But, you know, come on, let's be honest. And I'm a woman, okay? We do go by emotions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we try to play the game, Dean, I try to play the game.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm going to play this game that the men play. Mm-hmm. It ain't nothing. But I forgot that I had emotions.
Uh-huh.
I forgot that there was a certain need that I had to feel connected to someone who really wanted to get to know me and really wanted to be with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that didn't work for me. What works for me now is being in a relationship with one person that has the same like mind. And so, you know, I do respect people who have different beliefs.
Right.
There was a reason for different cultures to have more than one wife or to have more than one person. And I understand that.
Well, I tell you what, you've made us very, very aware of some things, and I appreciate what you're saying. And it sounds like to me, Astrid, you're saying that monogamous relationships work. Thank you, and thank you for being our first-time caller. I appreciate you. Tell somebody about us. All right, 4492-2703. I'm going to go to Randy. Randy, look like you're my last caller. Randy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, you on. Tell me about monogamous relationships. Do you think they work? Or, as Monique judges, she's making a case for these open relationships, and she's saying that, you know, if you're going to be involved in them, there are some rules that you need to understand, and she says that they're becoming a little more acceptable. What do you think about that?
So what do you think?
Go ahead.
But now, I agree with what she said, that they are becoming more acceptable, but I agree with the monogamous relationship that they can work. It depends on the individual that it is, you know, is he got to have, or she or he got their mind made up that they want to, you know, be in one relationship with one person, put it that way.
So you think then, but my question, let me ask you this. Why do you think why would you think someone would opt for having an open relationship versus a monogamous one? I mean, why in your thinking would you think people would think one works better than the other one? More so maybe an open one.
Because the morals and values that we used to uphold, we're not upholding those no more. And we're coming acceptable to what the dominant cultures are putting out within the society. And we're going with that instead of checking the history or looking back at the Bible, you know, what it say about the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Go ahead.
So I just feel that we're just not upholding a standard no more. We're just allowing anything to go because we fear that we're living in a different time, so there need to be different situations that arise, and we just accept those different situations without even taking out the consequences or even looking at the history of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I tell you what. Thank you, Brother Randy. Thank you for your call, man. I appreciate you. Listen, wait a minute. You're a first-time caller, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on. We got something for you too.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's what I need. We got all these first time calls tonight. We want to let you know we want you to be a part of this WAOK family. Like WAOK 1380 WAOK. Like us on Facebook, and that way the family is growing. And also like Dr. Bennett's page. Give it some thought. With Dr. Bennett, and you can be a part of the community both ways, but make sure you like AOKWAOK on Facebook. All right?
I'm going to do that. All right? Appreciate that.
Thank you, Black Mind. All right. Okay, y'all. Listen, another great conversation in the books. Wow. The time went so fast. As Janet says, funny how time flies when you're having fun. All right. We talked a little bit about Monique Judge's article about non-monogamy. You heard some thoughts, and you've heard some, you shared some. Listen, you've been wonderful. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate your calls. Listen, I got to send a shout out to Jean Ross, the boss. And I tell you, her ideas are just so helpful. And she's very good with helping us think through and make for some wonderful radio. Sean Garvin. Hey, man. Love you, bro. You're putting it down, man. The WAOK audience, listen, you've made for some wonderful music today. Listen, and I want those of you again, you've heard me say this, I'm going to say it one more time before I get gone. I want you to like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Yeah, that's my boy Miles playing in the background. That's Miles Davis, y'all. That's Miles. Oh, man. I think Miles calls that a mandala. Oh, man. That's Miles in the background. All right. I'll see you next time. Happy Memorial Day. Jackie Till, love you. Peace and love.